Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, friends, welcome to Stand in the Gap Today. It is an amazing and phenomenal day right now in Washington, D.C. There are rumors flying everywhere as to what Donald Trump Jr. did or did not do with respect to this meeting with a Russian lawyer. And we're going to be talking about that today and using that as a springboard to discuss another topic. But all of this really kicked into high gear yesterday in an interview that Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway did with Chris Cuomo of CNN. In fact, they sparred back and forth for an incredibly lengthy period of time. It was one of the most heated exchanges I've ever seen recent memory, and their exchange went viral very, very quickly. The subject? Well, it was a discussion of additional examples of quote-unquote collusion between the Trump administration and Russia or Russian surrogates. According to Donald Trump Jr., he did meet with a Russian lawyer, one who claims have been leveled against her that she had ties to the Kremlin. And those are accusations that today she has very vehemently denied. And their meeting that took place back early in the campaign season was to discuss primarily the adoption of Russian children by Americans. But part of the hook to procure the meeting, as the accusations are stated, was some supposed evidence on Hillary Clinton that this Russian individual claimed to have. She's now claiming she did not state that she had that kind of information. And then again, according to Don Jr., when it was clear that there was nothing there, the discussion quickly left that topic and went to the adoption issue. Now, was there any violation of the law with this meeting? Does this prove collusion, as the mainstream media and the left claim, or is this simply more gotcha journalism? We're going to be discussing that and a whole lot more. And with that, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler, and we have the entire team today. Gary Dahl, Sam Rohr are both aboard, and it's a delight to have them as well as you. And our general topic today is going to be this: impeccable integrity, living a life that is above reproach. And you're going to see how we're going to transition into that momentarily. But before we go there, I want to thank the growing number of you who are contacting us to thank us for recent programs. And Sam and Gary, I know both of you men have received very recently. In fact, I think a couple comments came in yesterday after the program, and they've come in recently. But I'd like to go to you, Sam, first, and then to you, Gary, and very quickly have you gentlemen just share a little bit about what you're hearing about the impact of Standing in the Gap Today in people's lives.
Well, Dave, I'd be glad to give you a couple of items here that just came in. Now, these are both from Pennsylvania. And I will say for our listeners across the country, when we started Stand in the Gap Today, 2 years ago this past April, there were six stations that were the beginning stations that carried this program. One is WFYL, who is our anchor station here in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, and then five others across the state. Through the course of the last 2 years, that number has grown to just under 450, about 435 stations or so right now, and many more are in discussion to add the program. For that, we're very thankful. But the bulk of the stations, those of which most of you are listening to this program, have only been doing so for 9 months, a year perhaps, but only those stations in Pennsylvania have had it for 2 years. Now, we're hearing a lot more from people who are on those two-year anniversary stations. We would love to hear from all of you across the country. So submit to us your comments and help us. But let me, Dave, just give one quick thing. Here's from one listener in Pennsylvania who's saying, I'm writing to you this letter to inform you and your staff that I've been listening to your radio program, and he gives the channel here, for the past several months between the hours of 12 to 1 p.m. I think it is important to note that it was by accident, he's saying, quote unquote, that I stumbled onto your program. I was flipping through the channels and I happened to pause long enough to hear you say, quote, biblical and constitutional perspective, end quote. This immediately caught my attention. Needless to say, I've been hooked on your program ever since, and it is by far the high point of my day. Well, that's one. That's a great comment from somebody who listens regularly. Now, here's one that just came in. I listen to Stand in the Gap and gives the call letters to the station here in Pennsylvania every day from 12 to 1 p.m. I find the program extraordinarily informative, reporting on the news using a biblical context. I always used to listen to Rush Limbaugh from 12 to 3 o'clock, but now I listen to Stand in the Gap from 12 to 1 p.m. and then catch Rush after 1 p.m. Thank you very much for the excellent program. And then she included a donation with that to the program and to the ministry. So, gentlemen, just tremendous comments. And I would like to think, I've talked to other people, Dave, who've also said the same thing. I used to listen to Rush, but, you know, I catch you first, then I go, because Standing the Gap Today puts it into biblical and constitutional perspective. It's great.
You know, Sam, as I was listening to you read those, wow, I thought that is incredible, because that is what we say, and that is how we try to address things from a thoroughly biblical, thoroughly constitutional perspective. Gary, let me go to you very, very quickly. I know you hear, as a pastor there in Central PA, you hear a lot from listeners, and so share a little bit about what you're hearing of late with respect to the impact of Standing the Gap Today.
Well, I hear a lot simply because of the fact that I live in the market where the program is aired on two stations. However, I've got to say that just last week, through a mutual acquaintance, I heard from a lady by the name of Patty Potter. Patty Potter, she says that, you know, what I was told, she says that she just loves the program and she never misses it. So, Patty Potter, I want to thank you for that. But in addition to that, somebody just recently contacted me and said, I love David New. And then some of the other short clips folks give to me include things like, I go to Stand in the Gap for my news. I never miss it. You boys, listen to that. I like that. You boys explain things like no one else ever does. Another person just recently said, thank you very much for doing all this research for us. So we certainly do appreciate what all of our listeners say. And I want to echo what Sam said, ladies and gentlemen. We love your responses. Your responses are the heartbeat of our ministry. Thank you.
And I want to echo again what these two men have said as well. I heard yesterday following the program from a couple of people that just said, wow, excellent program. Love what you guys are doing. Love all of you. Keep up the great work. And again, friends, that is very, very encouraging from a perspective as one who stands in a pulpit and preaches. It sure helps to have someone out in the congregation say amen from time to time. And basically, your comments that are coming to us are the equivalent from a radio perspective of that. And we're very, very thankful. Friends, when we come back from the break, we're going to move right into this Russia collusion discussion. And all of that is in the larger setting and context of impeccable integrity, how to live a life that's above reproach. And that is something that should take place not only in an individual Christian's life. It certainly should be true of a pastor. And it certainly should be true of our politicians. It's often not of our politicians, but it should be. We're going to be talking about all that after this very brief timeout. Join us on the other side for more Stand in the Gap Today.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
I'm sitting here right now looking at the beautiful, full-color Founders Bible. In addition to the trustworthy New American Standard text, it contains original historical artwork, as well as 64 full-color insert pages, 150 biographies or insightful quotes from the founders, and 450 pages of embedded commentary highlighting biblical insights. This beautiful leather-bound volume produced by historian David Barton has a gold embossed APN logo on the front. It can be yours this month as you support APN with a gift of $250 or more. To see it and make your gift, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. If you can't send $250 right now, we'd still like to hear from you. In gratitude for a gift of any amount, we'll send you a wonderful audio CD by Sam Rohr entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Nation. It will bless and challenge you. Let us hear from you today. Remember, all gifts to APN are tax deductible. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. The boys are back live. I love that phrase that was used to describe us, fellas, the boys. I appreciate that so much from that listener. Thank you for your kind comments. But, gentlemen, I want to talk a little bit about this topic, impeccable integrity, living a life that is above reproach. The accusations that are being leveled against our current president right now, you know, range from, obviously, this Russia collusion accusation to having his daughter Ivanka sit in on key meetings, including the most recent G20 event. Bottom line is this: all of this strikes at the heart, or is attempting to strike to the heart, of our current president's integrity. Sam, I want to go to you and just ask you, I know a lot of things are coming out even as we're on air. I'm trying to monitor that as much as I can. If there's anything of import that happens while the program's on the air, we'll certainly bring it to our listening audience. But up to this point, do you see anything that would signal to you any kind of collusion? And that is the critical word, collusion, with Russia, the Russian government, or nefarious Russian entities?
Dave, in simple terms, no. Bear in mind here the remembrance that where did this whole Russian involvement begin? It began out of the Democrat opposition. It came from the Clinton campaign. We're trying to make it look like the election was stolen and that Hillary really was the winner. And of course, we all remember how she found it forever almost impossible to say that she lost. But she did. The voters of the country did not go that direction and elect her. So it moved from, Dave, using Russia as the excuse, as the reason for why Hillary lost. And if we recall, while the hearings in Congress, that when it became apparent that there was no smoking gun, no testimony by Comey or any of the others have produced any data whatsoever that says that there was any kind of real involvement from Russia. Were they tampering around, cyber attack and so forth? They do, Dave, but so did the Obama administration. They interfered directly in elections with Netanyahu in Israel regularly, and he took credit for it. Why is somebody talking about that? But they never did. And so the fact that someone is poking around, trying to influence the extent they can, all the governments of the world, frankly, do that if they have any means. So when it became obvious that nothing really happened and they didn't change any votes, then it changed to this charge of collusion. That's a legal term that says that there was actually sinister, intentional strategies behind closed doors in cloaked and veiled circumstances, where there actually was a strategy between the Kremlin and Trump campaign and others to actually work together to do some sinister things. Dave, that was what they planned from the beginning, to extend this allegation, to sap up the attention of the news and the media, to keep alive this charge that the Trump administration was never legitimate from the beginning. Dave, there was no evidence then, and I don't believe from anything that I have seen on this released emails that there's anything there either of any substantive fashion.
Well, one of the things that that has been a problem with all the accusations that have been leveled against the Trump administration is that, Sam and Gary, there has been no quid pro quo with respect to this. And that goes back to something, Sam, you alluded to. Quid pro quo means something for something. In other words, if you give us this information, supposedly this negative information on Hillary Clinton, then we as a campaign, or by extension, we as an administration now are going to do back for you something because of the favor you've granted us. There is none of that. None of that in any of this Russia collusion story. That's why the FBI has not brought any charges thus far. Gary, understanding that all of this originated with the Hillary Clinton campaign, and remembering the 90s and how the Clintons were the masters of perpetrating this thing called the politics of personal destruction, Gary, they perfected that. And it looks like now they've brought all their people into play once again, and they're trying to bring about the politics of personal destruction against the current president. What do you think about that?
Well, I would say absolutely to that. There is no doubt that they want to destroy this current president. As a matter of fact, before we came on the air, I saw someone on the Fox News channel who said that he believes that this is going to bring Donald Trump down and that his administration will not be able to last out the term. Now, that's pure speculation. That's just putting thoughts into the minds and the hearts of people across the nation. And I will say this, Dave, if Trump is brought down by this, then there are a whole lot of other people who are in trouble. And probably what everybody on the Democratic and the Republican side of the aisle should do is to try to put a stop to some of this that's going on, because, you know, it's going to go back to a lot of people. A lot of people the kind of opposition research that sometimes may step over the line. You talk about collusion. I asked an attorney last week, really, what is collusion? Sam said it was a legal term. And, of course, this particular attorney said there is nothing going on in this Trump situation that would bring about a description of collusion. In fact, the dictionary actually says that collusion is a conspiracy for fraudulent purposes. Think about that. A conspiracy for fraudulent purposes. Now, let me say this. Donald Trump meeting with this individual was not wise. The question that I have is, why did he do it? Of course, you know, we realize that that simply could be because of the lack of experience that he and the Trump people had. It shouldn't have been done if it did take place, and even if it took place the way that they said that it did. So, you know, a word to the wise, David, when you run for office, please don't meet with anybody from Russia. You know, just to clarify that. But just allow me to take the cautious side of this. Up to this point, we may not be sure if there was a quid pro quo. We may not be sure of that. We haven't seen all of the emails. I don't think we want to go out before the people and say that we are absolutely defending the Trumps in this situation. We appreciate what Donald Trump is doing. But at least as it relates to these emails, as far as I know, David, all of the information is not yet out there. But even if it is, and I doubt that there's a quid pro quo, but even if there would be such a thing, Donald Trump was not the first person in the history of the United States of America who ever was involved in a situation like this. To be honest with you, I just think it's total fabrication and something that I would wish would stop here in our news cycle today.
Well, again, I think, Gary, that's wise advice. We don't know the end of the story yet, but I think the point you made is one that we need to underscore again here. This is not a blanket defense of Donald Trump, Donald Trump Jr., the entire campaign. If something was done that was wrong, obviously, they need to face the music on it, as should anyone. All we're trying to say is, at this point, from a legal perspective, and the term collusion is a legal term, quid pro quo is a level of legal expectation that has to be met from the standpoint of somebody offering something for something which is against the law. And at this point, we have seen nothing up to this point that even remotely suggests that. And so that's all we're saying. And then understanding where all of this originated, as Sam said earlier on in this segment, also helps you understand this is an attempt at the politics of personal destruction at its very best or at its very, very worst, whichever way you want to describe it. Gentlemen, I know we have just about a minute and a half here before we have to go into the break, but I want to go into this definition to set up what we're going to talk about for the duration of the program. And that is, I want to define integrity. According to Webster's Dictionary, integrity is this: the quality of being honest, having strong moral principles, moral uprightness, the state of being whole and undivided. And I'm going to add this in, basically my own statement. It basically means someone with integrity is not up for sale. It was said years ago of the Romans, for the right price, they will let you do anything. In other words, they're up for sale if you can just find the right price. And the point is this: for far too long, gentlemen, in our political system, we've had people that are up for sale. Gary, you may remember vividly when we were distributing Bibles to every member of Congress, one of, I think, the men perhaps from your church, maybe it was one of the gentlemen that came with me, but one of them got on an elevator with a particular congressman's name came up, and the elevator operator told this story that he got on the elevator shortly after the most recent elections. And he looked at the elevator operator and said, "Well, I fooled him again," talking about his constituents. Gary, before we go to the break, that is the kind of thing that absolutely has to stop in Washington, D.C. We need people of integrity that are above reproach. Your thoughts?
Well, we do. And I think this is one of the problems with Washington, but it's not only there. You know, we find it in the church. We find it in every level of life. Integrity is something that's needed. There's a difference between integrity and reputation. You know, David, reputation is what people think you are, whereas integrity and character is what you really are. And what we need today is men and women of integrity on every level of life.
Well, I could not agree more and could not have said it better. Friends, when we come back, we're going to provide for you a profile in integrity. And that profile is going to come directly from the Word of God. I don't want you to miss this analysis of this critical topic and an application of that at the very end of the program. Very, very important as we discuss this topic, impeccable integrity, living a life that is above reproach. Join us on the other side of this brief timeout.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Constantly on this program, we say that the purpose of this program is to deal with the issues of our day from a thoroughly biblical worldview. In other words, we provide a biblical rubric through which everything can be judged, whether it's politics, morality, decision-making, everything. Well, friends, in the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, we have in chapters 37 through 50 a phenomenal example of integrity, and his name is Joseph. By the way, he is one of two individuals in the entirety of the scriptures against whom God has chosen not to mention anything negative. Now, it's not that Joseph was perfect, for he was not, but God chose not to mention anything negative about him. He's faced with an incessant barrage of unfortunate events in his life. He's faced with false accusations, and yet he is the consummate example of integrity. Gary, I want to quickly go to you first and ask you if you could very quickly talk a little bit about this young man, Joseph, who was so filled with what is lacking today, this thing called integrity. And what was it that about him that reveals the integrity of his life?
Wow. Very quickly, you want me to talk about this young fellow, Joseph. I appreciate that, David. So I'll do,
you do can my best.
I would just say this. I would encourage everybody who's listening to this. Folks, I'd encourage you to take your Bible and read from Genesis 35 to 50 and learn about Joseph. He was a man of integrity and character, as we are talking about in the last segment. When you read about him and when you study his life, you will find that Joseph was one who worked as a slave, but he was faithful in doing that. He was faithful in hard places. He always enjoyed the presence of God, and he had confidence in God giving him strength. The Bible teaches us that Joseph was a young fellow who had physical beauty, but he never was proud over that. He never allowed it to be used as a snare. He resisted temptation. That, I think, is probably one of the highlights of the account of Joseph that we all know. He resisted the temptation against Potiphar's wife when she came upon him to have an immoral relationship with him. And it's interesting to note also that, at least according to the record, that when he was accused of these false accusations, he remained silent and just depended upon the Lord to establish a right record for him. He never got spoiled over the prosperity that came into his life. And again, as we look at Joseph, we find that he was a man that manifested wisdom, brotherly love, devotion to his family. He was submitted to God. David, he was a man of character, a man of integrity.
Sam, I'd like for you to take what Gary just shared and extrapolate it out for the benefit of those serving in any position of leadership today, whether it's politically, spiritually. What can, and what maybe better worded, could today's leaders learn from this man, Joseph?
Dave, they could learn an awful lot. And I would say that when I was a young boy, I took Joseph and Daniel, who we're not going to talk about right now, but another young man in position of authority, government, who stood above their peers, and as young men, did the job of a mature older man. Confronted with great opposition, great temptation, they stood tall. Now, in the case of Joseph here, these are the things I see about Joseph that, if applied by those in office, and I'll put it to anybody in position of authority, anybody, life would change. Meaning this, what did Joseph have? Well, number one, Joseph understood that God put him where he was. He didn't choose to go to Egypt. He was sold as a slave. But later we know when he confronted his brothers after he had been exalted to positions of leadership, he said, "What you did, you meant for evil, but God meant it for good." Joseph understood who God was. We've covered it on this program. I think back on June 16th program, we talked about the necessity of understanding the nature and the role of God. Joseph understood that he was there because God put him there, so he was not bitter. He was there, he knew he had a purpose, and because God designed it, number one. Number two, he understood, in the second point we said, I think on June 30th, understand the nature of man. Joseph understood sin. He knew his own personal frailties, and he knew that God was not pleased with sin. So when presented by Potiphar's wife to sin with her in adultery, Joseph's response was, "I cannot." I cannot what? I cannot sin, because he understood sin, against God. So that was the second thing. He understood right and wrong, that there was sin. He also understood, because we know of that, he understood accountability. He understood that he was ultimately accountable to God and then accountable to men, Potiphar, the guy who he worked for, because he said, "He's put me in charge of his entire household. I have a duty and responsibility to do what he's asked me to do." He had honor, and he recognized that accountability principle, which is missing in the political realm today. Dave, one, there is a responsibility to the people. That's what the constitutional oath is all about. But ultimately, there's accountability to God for doing what is right. That's what Joseph had. So when he put all of these pieces together, Joseph was able to be defined as a person of integrity. God looked at his heart, and God ultimately raised him to vice president of Egypt. I think that's extraordinary. But he understood these very basic things that our founders did, and we talk about in this program. People need to understand, those in the pulpit, those in the pew, those in office.
Sam, that is an excellent, excellent exposition of Joseph's life and pointing out those vitally important components. It is a stunning thing to me that during all of the time Joseph was going through this great trial, sold by his brothers into slavery, in Egypt, and then purchased by the servant of Potiphar, or Potiphar rather himself, a servant of the king of Egypt, and he worked there in anonymity. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. Then he goes to prison for that. He is in the prison there about a decade plus. During all of that time, gentlemen, we hear nothing from God about Joseph. We don't hear that God praised Joseph. We don't hear that God spoke to Joseph. Joseph's family was in a distant land. There is no one there to encourage him. For all practical purposes, Joseph is there alone, and yet he does write. And when finally summoned from the prison to go interpret a dream for Pharaoh, when Pharaoh says, "I've heard that you can interpret dreams," it's a stunning admission that Joseph rather says, "Men, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace." So his focus is always on who God is. And God is the one that's giving me this ability. God is the one that's given me this talent or this opportunity to interpret dreams or even to be where I am. So he is constantly focusing on God and giving recognition to God. Men, one of the ways integrity has been defined in a brief way is this. Integrity is doing the right thing when no one is looking. Now, while that is a great statement, the fact of the matter is this: there is always someone who is looking. So, Sam, I want to go back to you. How could, how should, how does understanding this fact that there is someone always looking and that someone is God, how can that change everything, or how should that change everything with respect to living a life that's above reproach?
Dave, two ways. I think number one, if a person is in authority, like we're talking about Joseph, authority meaning an employer, somebody who has somebody who answers to them, a mom and dad, teacher in the classroom, somebody's in authority, somebody has the ability to tell somebody else what to do effectively. That aspect, if that person understands that the position they occupy, not the specific role as teacher or employer, but the fact of a position of authority, that was created by God, because God established the concept of authority, and therein accountability to him. That's what Joseph understood. Ultimately, he was accountable to God, who looks at his heart. Dave, the difference there is that individual who understands that principle will understand that he is always, as a Christian we should understand this, on duty 24 hours a day, in private, in public, no difference before God. If a politician who makes his bad deals, we're talking about collusion here in the other part of the program, secretive things in private. Well, if we understood we're accountable to God for doing that which is right, Dave, that's the only solution to corruption and bribery and injustice within government or within the marketplace generally. Dave, it would change everything if we understood that God is looking at our heart, and even the thoughts of our heart are being measured by God. It would absolutely dictate and shape our actions if we knew that God was even measuring our thoughts.
Excellent. Gary, I want to go to you in just a minute or so we have before we have to go to a break. There is a distinction, a distinct difference between a leader, and I'm going to name some names, between a Donald Trump, who has very consciously, very deliberately mentioned the name of God repeatedly, talked about the role God should play in our country, versus the prior administration, the prior president, Barack Obama, who seemed to have disdain for the God of heaven. In fact, he is on record, well known, was his tirade against God, where he made some mocking comments against the God of heaven. Gary, in just about 20 seconds, if you could, talk about how that factors into this thing of integrity in a leader's life.
We've got 10 seconds left, so maybe we can hold that over to the next segment. Is that all right?
Gary, we'll do it and let you give full sway to your response. Friends, when we come back, we're going to give some solid suggestions about living a life of integrity personally.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr.
Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, I did something that no man should do to a friend, and that is I left Gary virtually no time to answer a question I asked prior to going into the break. So, Gary, I want to go back to you very quickly and just to reframe my question, let you respond to it entirety here. Our current president is on record many, many times acknowledging the role that he believes God should play in our country. He is on record obviously signing this executive action, repealing the Johnson Amendment of the tax code, and he stated very clearly, unequivocally, that he believes pastors ought to be able to stand in the pulpit and preach what they believe the Bible tells them to preach, and they shouldn't have any restriction placed on them. This is vastly different than what we had to endure for 8 years, where we had, tragically, unfortunately, a president who, again, was on record demeaning the Bible, making fun of passages of Scripture, and even in many ways poking fun at God himself. Sam was talking about, and we talk about a lot on the program, about acknowledging who God is. And that is the basis, obviously, of living a life of integrity. Talk about how there is a distinct difference between the two approaches of our current and past president and how acknowledging God is a critical component to success and integrity in the nation, Gary, because this is very, very important.
Well, David, it is. And certainly there is a distinction between Barack Obama and Donald Trump. And, of course, we need to keep in mind that Donald Trump has a past that is far from being impeccable. He has a past life, and a lot that he did in his past life we really would not agree with. It was anti-Christ, it was anti-biblical, and so forth. But many of us truly believe that God has placed Donald Trump in the White House to bring back, or at least to lay the foundation, to bring back biblical truth into our culture. He said that he was going to do that during his campaign. He talked about doing what he can to do away with the Johnson Amendment and so forth and so on. We mentioned last week on the radio program how many times he talks about God. You know, he said preachers need to learn to preach what is on their heart, and they must make sure they're not afraid to do that. And David, he goes on and talks about God more than any president that I can recall. I was in a discussion with somebody recently who said that I was talking with him about this, and he said, well, Ronald Reagan talked a lot about faith. And he did. We know that. But I believe that Donald Trump talks more about God than even Ronald Reagan did. And to come to the end of your question here, in the Old Testament, Dave, we find that one of the problems upon Israel and Judah is that they had forgotten God. They took God out of their vocabulary. They took God out of their life. And as a result, judgment came upon them, the Assyrian captivity and the Babylonian captivity. My speculation, my thought is this, Dave, that in Donald Trump, though he's not a perfect person, he mentions God a lot. And bringing God into the culture, bringing God into the conversation, is bringing God back into the memory of millions of people across this nation. And when God is brought back into the memory of people, the Spirit of God can take that and use it to bring people to the desire to search the Scriptures and find out who God is, what God expects, and how God operates. And I think that because of the fact that Donald Trump speaks so much about God is one of the reasons why the left, the liberals, and the devil himself is doing everything that they can do to destroy this man. He's not perfect, but I think he does have a genuine recognition of God. And as he continues to speak about God, it's going to have a trickle-down effect in society across this nation when people will start to study more about God and perhaps even come to the saving knowledge of him through Jesus Christ.
Excellent, Gary. Sam, let me ask you this. We live in a world that focuses on all the unimportant things, appearance of a person, their aptitude, their abilities. When if you look at the life of Joseph and then also the other gentleman you mentioned, Daniel, who is the second of the two against whom nothing negative is ever mentioned in the Scriptures, when you look at their lives, it was not the external things that are so honored in American culture today. It was those inner character qualities that God stressed. So I'd love for you to just talk, if you could, Sam, for a couple of minutes here before we have to wrap up the program. What must be done and where must it be done to once again bring integrity back into both ourselves and into our national leaders? Because we have been devoid of it for far too long.
Dave, in simple, simple terms, we must come back to a recognition again of who God is. We're singing the same song because it's so fundamental. Understand the nature and the role of God as a holy God who sets the standards, of a God who is the creator of all life. Therefore, he has the right to demand the standards of how that life is lived. The God who is the judge of the universe, which is why we have accountability, and he is the one to whom we'll have to answer. Dave, these things, understanding that man is sinful, he fell into sin. I mean, we were sinners from birth. We don't do naturally what's right. We have a relationship to God because he created it. We're not some product of evolution crawling out of a swamp that goes back into the dirt with no value to it. We are a life. Each person has a valuable life. Dave, these fundamental principles, which are the underpinnings of a biblical worldview, is what needs to be reacquainted with people in America, and unfortunately, many even within the Church of God. Now, I'll go here. One, knowing these things is critical. Number two, living it is the next step. We have to act upon what it is. And I'm going to take to a third person. I think of the person Job. Job's talked about a man who was perfect and upright. He was a man of integrity. His wife said, get rid of your integrity and just die. He wouldn't denounce God. But it simply means that his relationship was right with God first, perfect. And then he was upright before men. He did what was right by the person of character before people, the horizontal. Dave, we get the vertical right with God. We will have the horizontal work out itself the way it should.
Amen. Gary, I'm going to leave you just a few seconds to answer this and then lead us to God's throne of grace in prayer. But how does one reclaim or reestablish integrity once they've lost it? And once you answer that question quickly, if you could pray for us, I'd appreciate it.
They need to, first of all, confess what has caused them to lose that integrity, that sin, whatever it may be. They need to repent from that and they need to turn to God, and then they need to put themselves under the accountability of someone else to help disciple them and bring them back into that right relationship with God and with others. And unfortunately, that's not done as much as it should be done today, but it's necessary. Father in heaven, we do pray that every one of us, particularly who know you as our personal God, who know you through the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we realize that you are the one who requires integrity and biblical character. I pray that every one of us who are in authority, as well as every other person who's submitted to authority in this nation, in the church, would allow your Spirit to lead us, that the person of integrity would be who we are, that will glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, friends, get acquainted well with who the God of heaven is. Find out what his expectations of you are. And when you do, you can live in accordance with those expectations, which will be a life of integrity. And then join us 23 hours from now for more Stand in the Gap Today.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.